Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead. Amen. Amen. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. This scripture is profitable for both our instruction in doctrine and as well as it gives us a warning against ravenous wolves. It comes toward the end of Christ's Sermon on the Mount. You remember, of course, that Jesus begins this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, with the Beatitudes, "Blessed is the man," and these Beatitudes describe Christ himself. Blessed is the man is Christ himself. It comes directly from the Psalms. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had opened his mouth and taught them, saying that he himself is this blessed one, that he himself is the one who is persecuted for righteousness' sake, and that kingdom of heaven is the righteousness given to you. So in the context of Christ's entire sermon, this comes at the end, and he's referencing something that began at the beginning. Jesus' own sermon here is continuing with his teaching on false prophets. Beware. And it is a teaching that requires Christians to value true doctrine. The word doctrine really just means teaching or ongoing instruction. The Greek word here for beware can certainly mean what you expect. Watch out for that. Guard against that. But it also has another connotation. It has the connotation, at least in part, that when Jesus says beware of false prophets, he is telling these crowds on the mount that they should devote your attention to that. Devote your attention to false prophets. Pay attention to false prophets, to the teachers that you hear, enough that you are able to discern what is right from what is wrong. This is a little bit like me telling you that when you go on vacation or when you send your children off to college, when you're visiting that nearby Lutheran congregation, that you ought to know, you, enough theological doctrine in order to tell whether or not that pastor's preaching is bad or whether it is good. I don't mean his presentation and his ostentatiousness. No, I mean his doctrine. I mean his teaching. Is he preaching the gospel? Or more importantly, as we talked about last week, what is he even calling the gospel? Prophets, preachers, teachers must be judged by their fruit, not by their appearance. To say every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit, it's not merely a judgment call on whether a pastor is good at public speaking or whether he is faithful to good oratory skills. It's a check of whether he is faithful to God's word, whether he's faithful to God's doctrine. If you have ever shopped for bananas or avocados, you probably need to check the fruit. And certainly, I have come home and said, oh, well, I didn't check the fruit. It's a bad avocado. As Jeremiah points out, you'd be failing to judge the fruits properly if you hear a preacher say and then say this is okay. If you hear, no evil shall come upon you, and then saying that to anybody who walks according to the dictates of his own heart. A pastor who's telling you can do whatever you want, well, you should check his doctrine. All Christians, all Christians in the church ought to pay attention to doctrine, not just pastors. As St. Paul says in his epistle reading, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Pastors should declare the whole counsel of God and preach the text for what it says. They teach Lutheran doctrine because Lutheran doctrine is a correct exposition of Holy Scripture. And so pastors are not loyal to their own sermons, to their own theology books, and their own seminaries, but they are loyal to God's word. They are loyal to what Christ says. And Christ is instructing the people at the Sermon on the Mount, and he is instructing you to check every and all teaching that you hear, check it against Holy Scripture. In that sense, you should not naively trust everything you hear, especially from pastors. You should give your pastors feedback and comments. You ought to ask questions when you're not sure what they mean. And, dare I suggest it, you should ask them questions if you think they're wrong. It is a wise use of your God-given wisdom to check one another, not just pastors, but teachers, friends, and family. It's actually loving. Now, I'm not saying go around on Twitter posting heretic. And I'm not saying you should hurt or harm someone in their reputation. It's very probable that they want the truth. And it's very probable that they want it as much as you do. And so you should take a breath and explain everything in the kindest way. You should teach them politely if you think that they're wrong. Don't immediately run on with your corrections. Most of the pastors, teachers, parents, friends that I know, well, if they find out their loyalty is not to the Word of God, if they find it out it's to something else, they appreciate the correction. And so it is your vocation as a Christian to lovingly beware false prophets. Pay attention to what's being said. St. Paul repeats the same thought elsewhere, like in his letter to Timothy. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the doctrine. Continue in them, he says, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. It is a building up. It is a building up. If everyone is diligent in ensuring that right doctrine is taught and received, then everyone is taught and receives right doctrine. St. Paul was clearly a middle school teacher, because middle schoolers understand this concept quite well. Middle schoolers want you to say the correct thing the first time with no loopholes. And in case you haven't noticed, or perhaps you've come to this conclusion, they have no problem telling you if you're wrong. They have no problem correcting you, or as some might call it, talking back. Middle schoolers point out false doctrine because they want the truth. They want to know what is right. It is good that they are like this. It is good that they pester you and annoy you. God made them this way. And middle schoolers here, I'm telling you this is correct. Now, again, do not tell your parents or your teachers, heretic! It must be loving. Everyone must pay attention to doctrine. It keeps parents on their toes. And what Jesus is saying here is that you must keep your pastors on their toes. Pay attention that neither you nor they become false prophets. At church, as you heard in the introit, you should think about the Christian doctrine that flows from Holy Scripture. The antiphon from the introit is saying, and you heard, we have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. This, now that's true doctrine. It's worth thinking about. God's loving kindness is his steadfast mercy. It's the kind of mercy that forgives men like Paul, who persecuted. Paul, thinking he's persecuting for righteousness' sake, Paul thought he was righteous. But he persecuted Christ and his church. And this loving kindness is that which forgives him, corrects him on the road to Damascus, and in fact brings him to the true faith. God's loving kindness is the kind of compassion that is a refuge that does not allow you to remain in your shame. It grants you entrance to the kingdom of heaven. It grants you entrance not as or from one who is wearing sheep's clothing, but that entrance is given by a lamb. That entrance is not by a ravenous wolf, but the one who scatters the wolves. God's loving kindness is the tree bearing good fruit, not wearing sheep's clothing. He instructs us in his holy word so that we never hear those words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Because of God's loving kindness, you hear correction that flows from Holy Scripture, and you are protected against ravenous wolves that preach false gospels. Christ himself underwent this pestering, this correction. The Pharisees, the Sadducees tried and tried again. They were striving for what they thought was righteousness. And every time they spoke to him, he listened. And then when, as it turned out, that the Pharisees and Sadducees were incorrect and that what Christ was saying was true, he gives them correction back. And God be praised that some listened to the word of the gospel. Christ himself went under the same thing I am speaking to you today. The Pharisees were watching out for false doctrine and trying to trap Jesus, and Jesus was watching out for false doctrine and false prophets, and was in his loving kindness able to give them true doctrine. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple, in the midst of this sanctuary. We think on his loving kindness, the tree that bear good fruit, that we are not cast into the eternal fire. So beware of false prophets, for by their fruits you shall know them. But also, pay attention, beware of the loving kindness of God, for by his fruit you will know him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.